Well, again, a special good morning to all of you. So thankful for you taking the time to be here this morning. It's always a special privilege we have as a church every couple of months to gather together. We found this really beneficial to be able to just share updates with our church about what the Lord is doing here, some of the big changes maybe that are happening, as well as things to be praying for. So this morning, we're actually going to simplify. We don't have a ton of different areas that we're going to cover, but we are going to spend some extra time just praying today. So you're going to hear a couple different updates. You're going to hear us share a little bit about what the Lord's doing here as we look ahead to 2026. You're going to hear a little bit of a financial, fiscal update of what's happening in the church, and then some things within our discipleship ministries. And at the end of each of those, we're going to spend some extended time in prayer. So you didn't know that necessarily, but I'm telling you now, so that when we're done, you can kind of group up with some people in your immediate area. We'll have some prayer prompts for you so that you can join us in praying for what the Lord is doing and what we're hoping the Lord will continue to do in our church moving forward. So I'm going to begin our time together by sharing with you a little bit of a look at what's in store for 2026. So looking ahead to 2026, it's hard to believe. I was contemplating this morning that we are already more than halfway through the month of November. November felt like it crept up here, and now it's already on the back end. The holidays are quickly around us, which means that the end of the year goes by so fast. And so we're looking forward to starting to think through what is on the horizon for our church family. Now, you heard me mention already a couple times in recent weeks that our study in the book of Hebrews is well on its way to being concluded. So if the Lord wills, we will be spending two more Sundays in the book of Hebrews, so November 23rd and November 30th, and by then we should be wrapping up with the book, which means that we'll have the month of December as kind of a little bit of a transitionary period. Obviously, we have Christmas, and so we're going to do a couple different things in the month of December to kind of bridge the gap between our new year. We're not going to start a new sermon series, extended sermon series, until we start back up in January. And when we come back mid-January, I'm actually really excited because we are going to be launching into extended study in the book of Acts. So some of you maybe have wondered, where are we going to go after the book of Hebrews? The book of Acts is where we're going to look next. As we've thought about our church, we thought about the fact that we're kind of in a new season, new chapter in the life of Newcastle Bible Church. We thought that it would be really appropriate to go back to the origins of the church and specifically look at how Christ strategically builds his church. And so I'm personally very excited about this series. Many of you often wonder, like, what in the world, how long is that going to take? I mean, that's 28 chapters. We only took a year and a half to do Hebrews, and that's only 13 chapters. Here's the good news. Acts is narrative, which means it's story, so that moves along a little bit faster. So don't think that it's going to be like twice as long because it's twice as many chapters. It will still go at a reasonable pace, but we're looking at maybe a year and a half to 2 years that we'll be spending in the book of Acts. But we're really excited for being able to go into that study together and seeing what the Lord has in store for us as we think about the way that we do church together as Newcastle. As we get ready for that series, I want to just invite you into a couple different resources, because what I've found is it's really helpful to have companion resources within a book that you're studying, both as an individual or maybe as a family. And so this gives you some time. The holidays are coming up, right? So as you're looking for maybe some creative ideas for gifts for yourself or for your family, I just want to highlight a couple of different resources for you, and I'm going to do them in the order of youngest to oldest. So if you're a family that does any type of family devotions together, maybe on the evening times where you read the scriptures together, pray, and just kind of are looking for new material to work through. If you're familiar with Marty Makowski, Marty Makowski has been doing children's resources in the Christian sphere for a really long time. He's a great writer, very creative, has done a lot of different things. But a couple of years ago, he wrote a devotional book called The Treasure. So the treasure is actually a guide through the book of Luke and Acts, because Luke and Acts are actually companion volumes that Luke wrote. So he wrote the gospel first, and then he wrote the historical account of the church in the book of Acts. And so this actually takes you through both of those books. So it's not just Acts, it's Luke and Acts. But he ties it into another creative, like, children's story that's happening simultaneously, where two kids are trying to discover this rich treasure together, which is essentially the treasure of the gospel itself. And so if you're looking for a family devotional to do together for your younger children, this is an excellent resource. I'm going to have these, by the way, at the end of the congregational meeting. I'll have them up here in the front row, so if you want to look at them closer to decide if that's something that's for you, you can thumb through these. I do want them back, so please, these are not complimentary. We are actually reading this currently as a family, and so Zaria was very concerned that I was going to give this away today. We are not done with the story. We're like in the middle of it, so please do not rob them of that joy. Otherwise, they're going to think that they missed out on the actual treasure. So there's that book. If you have some like preteens and teenagers, and quite honestly, some of you as an adult, you would like this as well. But a couple of years ago, Kevin DeYoung wrote what's called A Visual Guide to the Book of Acts. And so this actually looks, it's not like a comic per se, but it's kind of like an illustrated outline of each of the different sections in the book of Acts, and so it's actually really well done and follows the outline to the book of Acts really well, and so it can be a really nice companion guide if that's something that you're student, or again, you, I'm not ruling you out, you might like that type of thing as well. If you want to take a look and see what that might look like, I would encourage you to look at that afterwards as well. And then finally, for really anybody adult in the church, I mentioned I did a reference earlier from Ian Duggett in First Service, but Ian Duggett wrote a really great kind of a devotional resource on called Turning the World Upside Down, Lessons for the Church from Acts 1 through 8. And so this is a really, really stimulating book, thinking through the early chapters of the book of Acts. So if you're a person who loves theological reading and thinking about how it applies practically to everyday life, this is a great resource. I'm like halfway through it as well right now. Obviously, we're doing a lot of halfway books right now, so the other halves could be bad, but so far, what we've read has been really encouraging, so I encourage you to consider getting a copy of that if you're a reader. So that's what we're looking forward to in 2026 as we transition sermon series. A couple other things just with 2026 on the horizon that I want to make you aware of. As our elders met a few months ago at our elder retreat, we've been trying to think about how we continue to lead our church forward. One of the things that we really are convicted by is just the desire to keep seeing Newcastle grow as a church that is not just insular, but is always outward focus. And so we talk all the time about how our mission statement as a church is not just growing deeper, but reaching farther. And so it's easy to understand what growing deeper means, especially as we think about studying the Word of God and thinking about community. But what is its outward expression? How are we taking what we learn and really sharing that and pouring that out into our families, into our communities, where people need the hope of Christ? And so we're doing more thinking about that. And so don't be surprised if in 2026 you see some extra effort on the part of our various ministries to have a little bit more of an external focus of how we take the gospel and what we learn to the outside world. So that's something that, again, there's no clearly defined things on that yet, but that's something we're looking forward to as well. Many of you are wondering where we're at in our search for a director of music right now. That is something that is still ongoing. The part-time nature of that makes it a little bit of a challenge because you're looking for a very unique type of person who is willing to be a part of the ministries here on more of a part-time basis. As of right now, our conversations with a lot of people has not turned up anything yet. We had one candidate who was in consideration for a while but decided to withdraw later on. And so we're just in an interesting stage right now where, again, in a few minutes, we're going to pray, and we're going to invite you to keep praying for the Lord to make clear to us what He wants for us. And that regard. That is something where we might have to at some point contemplate whether or not something more of a full-time position and more of a broader ministry focus at Newcastle might be appropriate. We're not there yet, but there is still some conversations that need to be had with folks. And so we're praying again. We're still so thankful for Gabe and Steve, who have just done a fantastic job leading us in this this season. I'm so thankful for the work and the effort and the intentionality in which they put into serving us as a church. So they're doing a fantastic job. Whenever you have the chance, please make sure that you encourage them. And then one more thing, we're thinking about looking ahead. You saw last week we had the privilege to install a few more of our deacons here in the church. And so we're now at kind of a new phase of the church where we can look at what does it look like to bring on more leaders for development and bring on more elders and deacons in the life of the church. We have had a process in the past for how we've done that with our elders and deacons, which we are going to simplify in some ways, and we're going to refine. So in particular, even with like future elders in the church, we're going to do a better job distinguishing who is an elder who is maybe coming on board versus one who is already an elder. Sometimes that distinction wasn't always very clear, and the lines got a little muddied and blurred. And so we're going to do a better job of that. We have a new process in place that's a much more clear path for that, much more of a discipleship behind the scenes with those men, so that when the time comes, the church is excited and they're ready and they're like, well, it's about time, right? Like, they see that very clearly in the life of that person that we're wanting to bring on, especially from the elder side of things. So that's another change that you're going to start to see in 2026 as well. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have about those things. Mike will share a little bit in a moment about the financials. He's going to tell you a little bit about the exciting news about some new aesthetics that you might be seeing also here in this room come 2026. All I'm going to say is that Christmas red that you see here that's so appropriate for this season only has a short window of time remaining on it. And so there's going to be some changes even in this room that we're very excited about that will hopefully enhance our worship together. So with that, I'm going to invite us to spend the next, let's say, 8 minutes together praying for some of the things that we talked about here. So we're going to throw up on the screen here some prayer prompts for you that guide you through some of the things that we just talked about. So as you are able, if you want to get into some smaller groups of folks, be able to pray alongside each other. This is one of the exciting things as a church, is to be able to unite our hearts and our voices together in prayerful dependence, knowing that the Lord is the one who provides for these things. So there's certainly some praises we want to be thankful for, and as well as some ways that we want to ask the Lord's blessing and favor on moving forward into the new year. So please do that, and then at kind of 8 minutes or so, Mike's going to come up here and wrap us up and then transition us into our next section together. Thank you. Yes, you can group up and pray now.
Father, we are grateful for your goodness to us. Thankful as we think about the time we've spent in Hebrews, looking forward to moving through Acts. We're thankful for the clarity of your word, for the way it is preached here, for the men who preach it here. They are a gift to us, and we know that comes from you, and so we say thank you for it. And so pray that you would continue to bless. It's so sweet to see all the folks here this morning, to hear voices lifted in common prayer for this church and for the ministry of this church. And we rely on you to bless it. And so we look forward to the things that you will do with the prayers of your saints. So we thank you for it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning. First thing we're going to talk about here is money. You knew it. You knew it when you saw me come up here. So every once in a while, we do have to talk about money. So I think, do I have a slide here that, this is just the same. If you picked up a bulletin, it has the little summary for the prior month. Maybe I don't have a slide. So if you have a bulletin or somebody by you has one, it's just this little box that shows where we are for the year. So we are running just a little bit behind this year from planned giving, but we've been managing expenses to try and stay close. Most of the gap, as you look at it, we're behind about $30,000 for the year. Most of that actually happened in July. And so the last couple of months have been better. We're getting better. Kind of headed into November and December. Usually those are better months for us. And so hoping for that again this year. So nothing to panic about. Giving is kind of up and down. And that's just the way things go. So I'm hopeful here as we move into November and December that we can catch up. Something else to mention as we head into the end of the year, and this has been in the bulletin, I think. If you happen to have appreciated stocks or securities, this is, over the last couple of years, the stock market's been, has done really well. We can actually accept those as donations from you. So if you give those directly to us, generally you can deduct the full market value of that, and you never pay the capital gains tax on that. So it is something that our government allows, can save you on taxes, and it is something that's good for us. So you have to talk to your tax advisor about that, of which I am not. I am not that. So talk to your tax person. And if that's something that makes sense to you, if that is something that works, please contact probably Lisa, and we can get that done before the end of the year. I want to take a moment just as we talk about money to encourage all of you. And for those of you who find yourself in a place where you're being faithful in your giving, thank you. I know there's a lot of you. Notice I didn't say anything about a specific amount or a specific percentage, right? I don't know. I don't know what any one of you gives here, and don't intend to. It's not something that those specifics that I want to know. I know that God's going to build this church. He promised he would do it. We've seen him do it. He's done it for 80 plus years, and that's going to continue. And he's going to use each one of you in a different way. There's a lot of different levels of income. There's a lot of different life situations represented in this room and in this church. And what God's looking for is faithfulness with what you have. He's promised that if you are faithful, if you're faithful in the way you worship and the way you pray and the way you care for your family and in the way you deal with your money, that he's going to bless it. He's going to bless that obedience. Now, this is not some weird prosperity thing where I'm saying if you give God a dollar, he's going to give you $2 back. I can't say that. The Bible doesn't say it, and so I won't. It's simply the promise that God blesses faithfulness in ways that only he can. And this sounds interesting to me. It may not sound interesting to you. What I would love is at some point we could have just some of you folks come up here and talk about the way you've seen that happen in your life. Because I know it happens. I talk to people and it happens. That God blesses the obedience of giving in all sorts of ways. And so I just want to encourage you. It is, again, God is taking care of the giving here. And he's going to bless that faithfulness. His word tells us each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So that's what he says. The God of the universe says that. I don't know what that's going to look like in your life, but I know that he always keeps his promises. So maybe there's some of you here who are still figuring out what giving looks like in your life. I would ask you just to give it some thought. Not, again, telling you a certain amount or a certain percentage or there's something that you have to do, because I don't know what that is. But I would encourage you to think about how God would have you get involved. God is doing some really amazing things here in the ministry of this church. And we'd love for you to get to be a part of that, to share in being a part of that story that he's writing here. And part of that is the worship of giving. So that's it. That's the speech on giving. We're a little behind for the year, but it's nothing that we cannot overcome. We're going to continue to use the funds that God brings through you to the best of our ability. We're going to manage it so that we can stay close, and we'll see where God takes us. Let's talk about, Scott mentioned, I'm going to talk about something in a change in this room. So we are going to proceed with the, I'm going to call it the repurposing project in the chapel. And so kind of some stages of that. And we have ordered some new chairs for here. I believe, Denny can correct me if I'm wrong, these chairs are original in their service to this room. So from the start of using this room, Old Red Faithful have held up. And so what we want to do is we are going to remove the pews in the family center, and we're going to, when the new chairs come, we're going to go through this set of chairs. Depending on where you sit, you may have found some chairs where you thought, you know what? This thing really needs to be retired. And you're right. There are some chairs here that need to be retired. And so when the new ones come, we're going to do that. We'll retire the old ones. But I believe it's going to leave us with enough that we can move these to the chapel. It will leave us with the ability to both use the chapel in the way we've always used it, but also to be able to use it in some different ways to expand the use of that room. So in case you missed the messages here, there's been a couple in the last couple of weeks. We are taking names if any of you would like to own a piece of the chapel. So there the pews are going to need to leave, and one of them could go to your house if you would like to have one in your house. So all we need is your name. There's no cost, no charge. We do not deliver. So you will take ownership of that pew right outside the chapel, and then you can take it wherever you want. But we do need to start that project here shortly. So we're down to the last call. If you're interested in having one of those, please let Lori or Lisa know next week or two and give you some more information in terms of when they come out and when they'll be available to you. Let's see where I am. Let's see. One more thing here. I know we talked a number of weeks ago. We mentioned that we're working on bringing back the process of the offering plates. And we're still working. We're still working on that. One thing we need to make sure that we have is the personnel in place so that we can do that well, so it doesn't turn into something that is a distraction. I was talking about what I was going to say today, and somebody at my house said, "Why are we bringing back the plates?" I said, "You know, that's a good question. There's probably more people that have that question." And I think it comes back to, it really is worship, right? The giving and the way that we give to the Lord is worship. And one of the things that happens when we don't do the plates is that it's easy to forget about it. It's easy just, there's lots of things going on in a service, and it's easy for us not to think about that part of life, that part of worship. And so one of the reasons that I think it's good to bring them back is that it makes a piece in our service without me having to come up here and say, "Hey, I'm talking about money. It's time to think about money," because I don't want to do that, and you don't want me to do that. But it does bring back just that thought as we're worshiping the Lord. We're in a sense of a worship service to be thinking about that part, thinking about our faithfulness, thinking about if there are things we need to change, how we would change them, if there's somebody we need to talk to about it, who we need to talk to about it. So just bringing that back as a thought prompt as part of our services. So, all right, we are going to move here. I think there's a slide here with some prayer requests on it. Yes. So we're going to take, same as what we did here with Scott, and got some praises and some requests. I didn't really talk about that. That middle one is a really sweet one. Just a praise that these facilities here are increasingly used through the week. It is rare that a day goes by that there isn't something going on here, and that's a really sweet thing that our ministries and our communities are able to use the facility. I want to pray for more of that. And then that last one, take a moment to say thank you to the volunteers and the facility staff who keep this place looking good. It is a big facility. We have a lot of space, a lot of footage under roof, and it takes a lot of taking care of. And so I want to thank the volunteers who work on it, but I want to pray for some more. We could use some more folks, the various pieces of that, taking care of this so that the Lord would raise up those volunteers. So let's take 5 minutes in your groups, and we'll pray for the things that are up here, and then Josh will come up after that and move into his part of it.
Lord, so we thank you for this time. We thank you for this generous church and all the members who so willingly step up and invest of both their time and efforts and the resources that you have given them here. I pray that you will stir up their hearts, Lord, encourage them in that faithfulness, spur them on. Lord, remind them that you are faithful. You will never let anything go unnoticed or unpaid. So I pray that they can experience the many blessings and rewards that come with faithful stewardship and giving. And likewise, Lord, I pray that you will continue to stir up in our hearts an increased generosity and grace, seeing the grace that we have received to be generous and to remember that our true treasure is in heaven, not here on this earth. So please provide, Lord, for this church everything that we need, both in terms of the financial resources as well as the people and the help to be able to do it. So continue to go with us this morning, Lord, as we worship and talk through upcoming things. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, so for my part, I'm going to be focusing in on a couple of the upcoming 9:30 hours that we have. In the early part of this morning, Scott did kind of a summary of those things, so I'm going to go a little different focus than that. Next week will be an RHMA focus, as you heard there, but I'm going to focus in on two in particular, November 30th and then December 7th. Last Sunday in November, which is the 30th, that's going to be a special 9:30 hour that's going to focus on community and then in particular life groups. Now, you might be hesitant to come for two reasons. So first, you're already in a life group and you wonder, why should I come? I'm already in a life group. Do I need to hear more about it? Secondly, you might not be in a life group. Maybe you've tried it, it didn't work out for you, whatever the case is. And you're just wondering, why do I need to go to this if they're going to talk about community and life groups? Seems to be, you know, maybe a waste of my time. So I want to address both of those concerns or questions, and so give you a couple reasons why you should consider clearing your calendar for these couple of weeks here. So on the 30th, we're going to do a few things. We're going to remember God's design for community and relationships. So we'll spend some time unpacking those biblical truths that we were created for relationship, and that's going to provide the theological basis for Christian community, why it's not just nice, it's necessary for our spiritual health and growth. And that's going to provide some foundational truths about our life groups, what their purpose is, and how they should operate. Secondly, you're going to be able to hear some real-life stories of transformation. So a time when people from life groups, both members and leaders, are going to be able to share personal testimonies about how being part of a life group has blessed them, maybe in some practical ways, such as deepening their faith. So how has these regular discussions of scripture and Bible study moved their understanding of who God is from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge, a practical application? Meaningful friendships. You'll get to hear stories about how friendships have developed, how people have gotten beyond the superficial Sunday pleasantries to real, lasting, and supportive friendships. And the third, you may hear stories about members in a group rallying around other members during some kind of crisis. Maybe it's a job loss, maybe it's an illness, whatever the case is, grieving, things like that. So you'll get to hear personal testimonies of why life groups matter and the difference that it makes. Third, you'll be able to see how you can be supported. So maybe you're lonely, maybe you're unsupported, maybe you're carrying burdens alone. Well, this time is for you, so we're going to take the time to show you how our life groups function as the front line of care, accountability, and discipleship for the church. Now, again, maybe you're hesitant. So we know that joining a life group can seem like a big commitment. So if you've been on the fence, we want to address some of those concerns head on. For example, I don't have time. So maybe you're thinking that, I just don't have time. So we'll show you how life groups are about doing life together, not merely adding something to an already busy schedule. I don't know anyone. Maybe that's your concern. This is hard for me to go there. I don't know anyone. Well, we want to introduce you to real people who started just where you were at. They had a lot of hesitations. They had a lot of concerns. And for you to hear and learn from them about how they grew and moved in their experience. I'm not ready to share my whole life. So maybe you're just hesitant about that. If I come before this group of people, now they're going to open up and I'm going to have to share all these details about my life. Well, listen, you get to set the pace. We will emphasize that life groups are a place of grace where you can observe, listen, and share as you feel comfortable. Sure, there'll be challenges, you know, opportunities to stretch you in that, but we offer no pressure, just genuine care. And then finally, taking the next step. So we know that joining a life group can seem a little intimidating, and so this time is designed to simplify the process. You'll get to hear from leaders, to see where they're meeting at, who's meeting, and how easy it can be to find a group. Now, what about for those of you who are already in a life group? Why should you come? Well, here's a few reasons. First is to be an example. So you're a living example of God's relational design. So come and be a visible example, a visible presence to encourage and help others who are struggling to join. So your presence makes this vision real and accessible. And you can invite other people in to experience your group and that community there. Secondly, to deepen your understanding of the why of life groups and community. So why do we do life groups? So part of this can be so that you can grow in your understanding of that. So it'll remind you of the theological basis behind that commitment, and it'll provide energy and clarity for your group in moving forward. Encouragement. It's a good thing to hear stories of how God is working, especially in the lives of people throughout the year. So this is a great time to just sit down and celebrate all the ways in which God is working in our life groups and to hear stories about that. So our hope will be that it'll be an encouragement to you to hear those stories and spur you on to keep doing it, as well as then to be prayed for. And that's the final component. So prayer for growth and strength. So you'll be able to join in prayer with the rest of us as we pray that God will work in our church, that he'll draw people into community. And so that is going to be necessary for God to, that's going to be really important for the health of our entire church family. Okay, so that's the last Sunday in November. The first Sunday in December will be another 9:30 hour. And again, we'll have the round tables. If you think back on last year, you'll get to enjoy a delicious breakfast. Our top guys are working to create that menu again and to put all those pieces into it. So I think that's going to be a fantastic breakfast there. But why are we doing that? Is it because we're bored? We just needed to fill a Sunday, had some extra food left over, needed to get rid of it? That's not why we're doing it, okay? It's a great opportunity to live out the one another's. So it's going to provide you with a wonderful opportunity to do two things, to welcome new faces. So raise your hand if you know every single person who's here at Newcastle. Nobody? Okay. Well, that's okay, because this Sunday will be a wonderful opportunity for you to hopefully get to meet some new people. The Lord has been really good. He's been bringing a lot of new people to Newcastle, and it's hard to be able to connect with them. So hopefully this will be an opportunity for you to step outside the normal people you'd usually sit with or be with and get to know some new people here. And secondly, it's an opportunity to demonstrate community, to show the love of Christ and the warmth of the family to everyone who walks through our doors. So the Sunday before that, November 30th, that provides you with the why basis for community. But that Sunday, December 7th, provides you with the how. So it gives you an opportunity to practice the how of relationships and community. So all of us must do something with God's call for relationships and community. And so let's take advantage. I just encourage you to take advantage of the time that's provided to participate in it. So those are those couple Sundays coming up right there. The final thing is with our equipping classes. So at the beginning of the year, we'll kick off a new round of equipping classes. But I wanted to just take a few minutes to think through, again, the why of our equipping classes. So they're a 12-week focus on a particular topic, maybe parenting, theology, evangelism. The aim is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and that'll be one thing you can pray for as we finish up here, Ephesians 4:11-16. And they're a crucial part of our disciple-making process. So at Newcastle, we want all Christians prepared to do ministry in all areas, to grow spiritually, to reach the community, to serve Jesus and others. And so equipping classes are really a tool that will help you with the knowledge and the practice to fulfill your roles in that. So what's our overall plan for these equipping classes? Well, think about Jesus. He had a few years with his disciples. During that time, he was very intentional in what he taught them. He didn't teach them necessarily everything they wanted to know, but he did teach them what they needed to know. And so our equipping classes have this goal of connecting head knowledge with heart knowledge, so that practical application, head and heart. So we've offered a variety of classes in the past, from theology classes to apologetics classes to classes on specific topics such as marriage, and we're going to continue that focus as we go forward. And our hope would be that everyone in the church has the opportunity to, at some point, take those classes. So those classes will allow you to dive into topics that the sermon just typically can't cover. So the call for you, the question to consider will be, maybe instead of leaving, going out of church about your day, will you take an extra hour to join one of these classes here and use it to grow, both in terms of your own relationship with the Lord and then in relationship with other people. It provides you another great opportunity to connect with other believers during that time. So be prepared. Announcements on those particular classes will be coming out very soon, and we'll look forward to resuming those at the first of the year. So we'll give just a few minutes here for prayer. I've got some prayer prompts on the board right there, and so just praising God for the faithful ministries that we've seen him at work at, praying that the Lord will continue to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and then praying for some of these upcoming things, whether it's the community-focused Sundays or life groups or the equipping classes coming up. So I'll let you just have a few minutes, maybe just do that individually since we're almost out of time here, and then I'll wrap us up at 10:30. So as we finish up here this morning, I do thank you for each and every person who was able to come and participate with this. Thank you for the prayers that have been offered up. And we look forward. Lord, we have a lot to celebrate about all the ways in which you have worked in the hearts and lives of individuals even this year to get them in a different place spiritually. And we're excited, Lord, to see what you will do in the following year and how you will do that and who you will work in. We pray that you will be at work within all of us, Lord, to grow us and make us more like you. So help us as we get ready to come together to celebrating those times of relationships and fellowship and growth. We want to hear those stories, Lord. May it encourage us and excite us. May you do great things in the year to come, Lord. That may look different than what we have in mind, but that's okay, because we know that your plan is always far better, far wiser, and far superior to anything that we have. So, Lord, we can do none of this apart from you, absolutely nothing. So as we end, may we remind ourselves of this truth, that apart from you, we can do nothing. So work within us, Father, and demonstrate yourself to us in great and powerful ways, Lord, and encourage us and sustain us and keep us going by your grace. So thank you again for this time today, and please go with each and every one of these brothers and sisters as they leave here, and protect them and watch over them and bring us back safe as we return. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so that wraps up our time here today. You can, for those of you who are staying for the next service, you can feel free to get your coffee or whatever it is, and we'll pick back up at 10:45.